This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Female artists have stood in the shadows of their male colleagues for much of art history, and that disparity is still evident in many art museums today. A survey of 18 prominent institutions in the U.S. found that close to 90% of artists shown are both male and white. North Carolina Museum of Art says they hope to change all that and correct the imbalance. The museum launched a Matrons of the Arts initiative last year. It's a program that aims to highlight women artists and supporters of the arts. This weekend, the museum is going to host a program celebrating International Women's Day, and it's called Take Up Space. Valerie Hillings is director of the North Carolina Museum of Art and the first woman to hold that position, and she joins me now. Valerie, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Tell us a little bit more about the initiative generally.
The initiative actually started on when one of the trustees of the North Carolina Museum of Art, Lizzie McNary, was trying to put her sons into school and went to look at the art studios and realized that all of the drawings and all of the references were to male artists. And she said, well, I realize I don't know much about women artists, and began her personal journey that then she came to the museum and said, can the museum do something? And so the Matrons of the Arts initiative was born with the intent of helping to build the collection with women artists, to have programming dedicated to women, not just women artists, but women cultural figures, and then as well to just raise a lot of different conversations about how women have contributed to culture in general.
So who have we been missing? I mean, I guess I wonder if this problem is where it begins. If women had been historically discouraged from getting into this business, or if they were always among us and they just weren't getting shown at the galleries, or what combination?
I think if you look back into history, obviously artists belonged to guilds and often were studying at academies, and there were limitations. For instance, if you were studying academic painting, you had to study the nude, the live study of the nude, and that was something that was deemed inappropriate for women. And so in general, the schools and the ways of rising through the ranks were not available to women. Certain women artists emerged where, for instance, their fathers or their brothers let them work in their studio. I can think back to to Rosa Bonheur, who was allowed by her father to wear pants and go out and paint animals. And so you begin to see professionalized women much more strongly moving into the modern period, into the late 19th century. You think of, in the Impressionist circles, artists like Berthe Morisot or Mary Cassatt, and then coming into our own time, more and more women taking the lead, partly in response to the rise of feminist movements as well. And also, for me, it's the Guerrilla Girls, who we actually have coming to NCMA, who made these amazing posters talking about how there were lack of women artists and women and artists of color in all museums, and giving statistics, which really made it very clear.
Yeah, talk more about them, because as you say, they're going to be part of this celebration this weekend, right?
Well, it was a group of women in the arts who began to wear gorilla masks. So it's spelled, right. But it's spelled not like the gorilla as in G-O-R-I-L-L-A, but gorilla as in gorilla activism, G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A. And they began to assume identities of great women artists. So you would have someone be Georgia, as in Georgia O'Keeffe, or Frida, as in Frida Kahlo, and would begin to show up at museums, pop up at museums, and raise attention to this lack. Also, as I said, these amazing posters. And I remember being a graduate student in New York, walking through Soho and seeing on a post box a poster of a very famous sculpture called The Fur-Lined Teacup by Merritt Oppenheim, with all of their little gorilla faces in it, you know, reminding us that we needed to pay attention to the fact that very few of those objects were sitting in museums at that time.
And very, very few were directed by women. As we said, you're the first to do this here in North Carolina, and really one of the few still for a museum of its stature in the country. Well, first of all, talk about the importance of that and whether or not that makes a difference in this project.
Well, I think it's absolutely. Coming up as I did, I was here in school at Duke University in the late 80s, early 90s, and certainly the then director of the museum at Duke was a man. All of the leading museums were run by men. I don't think I really actively thought about that till later. And once I got to New York and I realized that I was very interested in the future in running a museum and trying to look for mentors. And so when it came time for that, I did seek out a female director, Jill Medvedow, the director at ICA Boston. But around that exact same time, there was an article in the New York Times indicating that women were afraid, they felt, this was the analysis, to apply for jobs at museums with budgets of greater than $20 million. And that, in fact, there was a strong indication that women were applying for smaller museum jobs. And so when this job came open, I thought for a moment, and then I thought, well, there's absolutely no reason why a woman or any person with a strong background and the inclination to run one of these institutions. And so I'm certainly proud to be the first woman director of the NCMA, and I'm sure there'll be many more to come.
What do you think accounts for that, though? Or to the extent that those statistics mm-hmm. said anything, why were women less likely to apply for jobs with higher budgets?
Well, one of the things that is true throughout history is that opportunities that give you the experience in order to prepare yourself for certain jobs, you know, sometimes they haven't been available as readily to certain groups, not just women. And, you know, part of that is that you need to be able to have the education. Part of that means you need the money to get the education or the experience. Oftentimes, still today, one of the issues is that a lot of internships are unpaid. And so that really does rule out not just women, but a lot of people from many different backgrounds. Who might otherwise want to be in that sphere. And then equally, definitely, of course, if you look even a few years ago, there were a lot of male directors who were at the very top, and then women were just a little bit below that. So I think it's about availability of those opportunities and then also just a mindset. Of course, you know, when I look back into those women that walked before me in the feminist art movement, they opened doors that were not available to women across industries. So it's not just about the museum industry. I think we're just part of a larger trend, recognizing that there's an opportunity that can be made possible to people of many different backgrounds.
And now the North Carolina Museum of Art is opening that up and offering a glimpse at some of the art that we might have missed. So who have we been missing all these years? Give us an example.
Well, you know, in the NCMA collection, there's a strong, growing and strong representation of women in modern and contemporary, particularly contemporary. But looking backwards, there is in the collection a sculpture by the sculptor Camille Claudel, who was in the circle as a student with Rodin, and so really often gets discussed in relationship to him, but was an important artist in her own right. Another portrait, if you just round a corner in our museum, you'll see a portrait by Elizabeth Vigée Lebrun, a painter, a French painter, who did amazing portraiture. And so, you know, if you didn't look at the label, you might not realize she was there. So these are some of the early pioneers. But, you know, thinking also about even our most recent superstar acquisition of Yayoi Kusama. Mm-hmm. Kusama is someone who emerged in New York in the 1960s in primarily male circles and began to develop her unique aesthetic, often many of them to deal with these mirror rooms where you look through and see lights and your reflection, but really was understood. She ended up going back to Japan, which further added to her lack of popularity and familiarity. And then all of a sudden, in the last decade, she's everywhere and she's very much being recognized. And I remember building a collection as I was for the Guggenheim in Abu Dhabi. I was being asked, what are the anchor artworks or the superstars? And she immediately came to mind. And so I think, you know, over time, there have been those artists that were part of circles, but were perhaps a little lesser known and now are really bubbling to the surface.
Yeah,
and so that's exciting.
It's interesting. You think about it. Not only do we lose the fact that we didn't see these paintings for this long, but also we haven't learned about their contributions. That's not been written into the history, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So many chapters. You know, now one of the things that we're very interested in, for instance, is the Black Mountain College history. And there's another great example where the artist Ruth Asawa, a Japanese American woman artist, who's suddenly materialize and become very much on the art world's conscience. We'll see how much in the public's conscience, but we're definitely going to be highlighting her. So yeah, it is extremely interesting how over time, not just certain artists of certain genders and backgrounds, but certain artists come and ebb and flow with history. And so when we make the conscious decision to show them and to celebrate them, then that helps to change the equation.
Well, I'd like to bring into the conversation now one of the artists participating in the Take Up Space event this weekend at the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh. Monet Noel Marshall is a Durham-based artist, director, and producer. She's also a creative consultant. And she's the director of programming at the Art Gallery VAE in Raleigh. She's going to be giving a tour at the museum. Welcome back, Monet.
Thanks, Frank.
Tell us about this. Well, first of all, tell us about your tour.
Yes, so I am incredibly excited to give a tour because I am not trained in visual art. I am a theater kid that loves art in general. And one of the things that I'm excited to do in the tour is to highlight the fact that as a viewer, that I get to have an active role and an active conversation with the art, even if I don't know all of the art history. And how does that make art more accessible for anyone who comes in to say, this is the experience I'm having, and for that to create room as well.
And so how do you do that exactly? Because to some extent, you know, somebody might ask you about the period that they were working in or what their contribution to, you know, the medium is. I mean, do you think, is that something you feel like you need to be prepared for?
A little bit, but not as much, because I think part of the strength of at least the tour that I am excited to give is that I get to say, I don't know. What I do know is that we can look at this piece and how is it impacting us in this moment. And actually, that information might be more salient to us than for us to have a conversation about facts, just because it opens up a world of conversation around art.
And once you're curious, that's the kind of thing that you're going to look for. Right. So give us an example of an artist that's been overlooked.
I have been thinking a lot about Selma Burke, who was a sculptor. There's a lot of conversation in the art and the art world around whether or not her bust of Roosevelt was really the thing that inspired the art that we carry in our pocket on the dime. And I think thinking about that and knowing that that could be true and the history around that, where is art happening in our lives all the time? And not just happening, but featuring and centering artists of color, women artists of color, queer women artists of color that we don't even know about. We don't even know their names. And I think second would be Jackie Shane, who was a trans black woman singer during the Motown era, and she was popular in Toronto, and her music is nominated for a Grammy this year. So I think I'm just really excited by all the different artists that we get to re-meet and be in new conversation with.
Yeah, it seems to me that's one of the virtues of this, is as we open up our thinking about who is an artist and who has been contributing, we think more deeply about what is art, and then we open up our minds to even broader social questions about gender and the fluidity that had been so rigidly defined before, which hopefully that's one of the things that art can do, open up the imagination to allow for more possibilities. So if anybody's going to agree on at least one facet of the definition, it should be that when it comes to art. And I know that you're also, we talked about you being director of programming at VAE. So do you see things opening up that way in the arts world?
I do. I think that with VAE, VAE was started 38 years ago by artists who came together because they were not ready for maybe galleries or museums, and they needed a space to make work. And in that time, so many other spaces have opened up to create opportunities for that, like art space, for instance. And so now we're with that same goal, who's not at the table? Who are we missing? And how do we use our arts and culture spaces as third spaces, as liminal spaces to create community and to use art in that way, which is very different from creating space for a more commercialization of art.
So what needs to change, do you think? Or are things just sort of moving in the right direction? Mm. We just need to kind of stay behind and keep pushing, make sure we go?
No, we definitely need to be intentional about the ways that we are moving forward. I think that we definitely have to make sure that we don't follow this preconceived ladder of social progress that goes like white men, white women, black men, but like, and it goes down a very particular way. I think that we need to challenge that. And I also think that we need to have a real conversation about what we want our art to do in our communities and be okay with different definitions about, so that we can be clear about our why and our people and how we're moving forward.
So how does that happen? Who takes responsibility for that?
That's a great question, Frank. I believe that our institutions have a big role to play in that. I'm really excited for what NCMA is doing this weekend. And I think that it's also all of us taking ownership over art and saying, like, I am an artist too, and this is my contribution to this conversation. And I think spaces like NCMA doing this weekend, or some of the work we're doing at VAE and our arts organizations across the triangle that are having conversations about that, allow us to enter in differently.
Yeah, this is also, Valerie, you know, matrons of the art in terms of the larger project. And so the idea here is that sponsorship is vital, and where the money comes from says a lot about what kinds of outcomes you're going to get and who's going to be producing it. I mean, talk more about that right now, the way cash flow has an influence on who does and doesn't produce art and whether or not that's changing.
Well, I think what's fantastic about the matrons is that we are finding that we're getting support not just from women. I mean, we have male members of matrons, and I think that's, you know, what's important is obviously as new constituencies are gaining ground, you tend to isolate them sometimes in order to move forward. So by having matrons, we're announcing our intention. But hopefully down the road, there's enough support for what I like to always embrace, which is multiple perspectives, that we won't need to separate it out. But in terms of fundraising, having it as a separate initiative that calls out what its intention is, what it will be addressing, is quite necessary, you know, for people to decide what they want to get behind and they can get behind. What excites me about the matrons is it's certainly not meant, if you look at our program for Women's Weekend, it's all kinds of women and all kinds of people that identify with women or even come from, you know, a non-binary background in terms of how they're thinking about their identity and their gender. So, I mean, it has a certain framework that allows it to be understandable to certain constituencies, but in the same moment, it is generous and open.
Well, tell us more about what we can expect this weekend.
Well, we're very excited. We'll start out, you know, we started by talking about Gorilla Girls. We'll start out with a wonderful lecture by one of the Gorilla Girls, but then she's also going to be doing a workshop on Saturday the 9th at 11 o'clock, and we still have availability for that. And I think it's a chance to for people to come in and interact. I mean, I guess what I would say is I'm very excited that we're leading with artists by and large, that, you know, Monet is going to be participating, others who will give, some artists will be giving tours in the galleries, others will sort of have a pop-up booth-like situation where they can engage in dialogue and conversation around some key issues relevant to society, not just to women. And then we also have a panel on Sunday morning that I'm doing with my colleague Sarah Schroth from the Nasher and Katie Ziegler from the Ackland. And we're going to be talking, of course, about the phenomenon of women being able to rise to museum director roles. But we are actually really interested in talking about ourselves as collecting museums and our responsibility and opportunity to rethink how those collections are built and installed such that they can open up new conversations about different voices and really begin to not just show one history, but actually many.
And so what does that mean? How have things changed, and how do things need to change in terms of the way you approach collecting?
Well, I think the best example would be the contemporary collection that the NCMA has been forming, where, you know, the foundations of the collection are certainly European, to some degree American art. And in fact, more recently, the collection has had a larger, well, I kind of also mentioned there were only a couple of women artists before you end up in the 21st century. So it's very strongly, it's women artists, it's artists of color, it's artists that are not American or European. And so it in the way we've been building that collection and the way we're installing it demonstrates it's integrated. It's showing everybody together. It's not prioritizing or separating out.
Yeah, Mornay, I wonder how you think about that, because as somebody who has done work in communities to develop the arts, you know, what does it mean to have an established institution like the NCMA sort of taking on this project?
One, I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. You know, just recently I was at the Ernie Barnes exhibit, and there's a video, and he talks about when he went to the newly desegregated NCMA, and he asked one of the docents, where are the black painters? And the docent told him, like, your people don't represent themselves that way. And we know that's not true. So I think this is definitely a step to show that all folks of all kinds create art and represent themselves in lots of different ways. And I do have questions around how are we using this power, this energy of this moment to then create space for up-and-coming artists who have not made the name for themselves yet, and how to, especially in North Carolina, in the South, how are we creating space for them to explore, to learn, to develop, to support themselves financially in this moment.
I want to thank you both for being on the program. Monet Noel Marshall is a Durham-based artist, director, producer, and creative consultant, also the director of programming at the Art Gallery VAE Raleigh. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
Also, Valerie Hillings, director of the North Carolina Museum of Art. Valerie, thank you.
Thank you.
You can find out information about Take Up Space, the event at the North Carolina Museum of Art, this weekend at our website, stateofthings.org. And there's more of the State of Things just ahead. Stay tuned.